Welcome to More in the Word, a podcast of Moore Theological College in Sydney, Australia, that seeks to glorify God through biblically sound, thought-provoking, and challenging talks and interviews. In this episode, Peter Jensen, former Archbishop of Sydney, interviews Lloyd Bennett, former pastor and chaplain and graduate of Moore Theological College. Peter interviews Lloyd about his call to Christ, his call to ministry, his time at Moore, and how God worked through him and his ministry post-college. We hope you find the episode helpful.
It's my great pleasure today to speak to my friend, the Reverend Lloyd Bennett. We've known each other for many, many years, one way or another. And Lloyd is a graduate of Moore College and has had an interesting and different ministry, one way or another, over these many years. And I'm glad to report that he continues still in ministry, doing what he can to promote the kingdom of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Lloyd, I'm going to ask you some questions about yourself.
Yeah.
And if you can tell us, because you are one of the youngest people ever to come to Moore College. How did that happen? Tell us about that.
Well, it was quite a story because I went to Lane Cove Sunday School at a place called Roland Lamb Memorial Church.
Right.
Now, Roland Lamb was the name of a fellow who was killed in the Kokoda Trail when he was in the war. And his father, Frank de Villiers Lamb, who lived at Ballara, wanted to have a church in his name. The diocese wouldn't allow it, though he was going to pay for the whole lot. But when he insisted, they changed their mind. And now it's one of two churches that were named after a person, the other being the Francis Katz Memorial Chapel at Moore College.
At Moore College, yes.
So I went to Sunday school there. It was there when I was in the fellowship at 14 that I gave my life to the Lord Jesus as my Saviour and friend. And then I was very, very keen and enthusiastic for the gospel.
Yes.
And trust I still am.
Yes, I think you are. Yes.
So I was keen to do everything I could. I started teaching Sunday school. I got linked up with the youth group and soon became leader of that.
Yes.
But the reason I tell this story is because Frank de Villiers Lamb came to that Sunday school and they had a special prize called the Roland Lamb Memorial Prize, which I happened to win in 1956. So Frank de Villiers Lamb invited me then to come out to his place and meet with him and his wife.
In Woollahra.
In Woollahra.
Yeah.
So I went out there and had lunch with them, and he was a very prim, proper Englishman. And we played Scrabble, and he always won because being a prime Englishman, he had a vocabulary bigger than the Oxford Dictionary. He showed me round Woollahra and Darling Point.
Yes.
But I noticed his garden or his lawn needed a bit of mowing, so I offered to mow the lawn, which he accepted, and I did that. Then I got invited back regularly and I would mow his lawn. Then in 1956, CMS had a missionary convention at the town hall when Lawrence Love was the guest speaker.
Yes, yes.
And I went to that together with Isabel, my girlfriend at that time.
Yes, that's an important name.
It's a Isabel, very important
name. So we noticed Isabel, yes.
Yes, 57 years we were married.
Yes.
And at this convention, he preached on commitment to Christ and call to ministry or missionary service.
Yes.
And at one point he said, and if God is speaking to you and you feel that you are called to missionary service and you're willing to make that dedication, stand up now. No beating about the bush.
Right.
So I stood, Isabel stood, and many others stood.
Yeah.
And that was when I made a commitment. I believe that God called me into the ministry.
And you were just 16 years old.
I was 16. 16, yeah. That's right.
And then 3 years later.
Yes, well, I was very keen.
Yes.
Very keen for the gospel. So I managed to get on beach mission team and go on beach missions with Dr. John Yeo leading it.
Yes.
I taught Sunday school. I ran the fellowship. And I knew that I couldn't go into college. I even read the 1662 prayer book to find out what the rules were. And it said in the introduction to services for ordination, you can't be deaconed until you're 23 or priesthood until you're 24.
Yeah.
So I thought, good, I'll go into college, God willing, in 1961.
All right.
But I didn't want to miss out.
Yeah.
So in February, I rang Dr. Knox.
Yes, who has recently become the principal at that stage.
He'd only been there that one year.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. And said that I'd like to come in and I'd like to apply for college for next year.
Yeah.
And he said, "Hey, Lloyd, when can you come and see me?" Well, I was working at Sydney Water Board till 5 o'clock. I said, "I can come in any afternoon after 5 o'clock. "Oh," he said, "how would tomorrow be for you?" I said, "Oh, well, that'll be okay. Thank you." Yes. So I went in to see him and he interviewed me and asked me various questions. And then he put a question to me and said to me, "Lloyd, why did you come in this year?"
Goodness me. Yes.
And I said to him, "Well, I can't." "Why not?" "Two reasons. One, I'm too young," because it was a 3-year course then.
Yes, yes.
"And I won't be old enough to be ordained. So I need another year. And secondly, I won't have enough money because I actually had a job at the Sydney Water Board and I was working as a heliographer doing photographic work like this. And I needed the money to get through college."
Yeah.
And then he said to me, "Well, let's not worry about that. We won't worry about age at the moment. But as far as finance, that's not a problem either." And I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Well, you know Frank de Villiers Lamb, who you've known?" I said, "Yes." "You told him in 1956 that you were called into ministry?" "Yes." "Well, he's put some money in an account here in your name every year, but we were told not to tell you unless you came in. And if you didn't come in by a certain time, it would go to consolidated funds."
Are you still thanking God?
Well, he said to me,
"I think that's extraordinary. Isn't that wonderful?"
"It is wonderful."
Yes.
But then he said, "I need you to an answer quickly because I've got a meeting of the college committee, but I've worked it out." He obviously knew me.
Yes.
He said, "With the diocesan subsidy, with the money that Frank de Villiers Lamb has left you, and with the money you'll get as a catechist for 1.5 days' work,
indeed,
you'll have enough to come into college broke and leave college broke, but no debt." He said, "So what do you think?" So I said, "Well, I'm excited, but I want to pray about it. I'll let you know." So I went home and he said, "Well, you need to let me know tomorrow because I've got a meeting with the college committee and college starts in another week."
Yeah.
So I went home, I prayed about it with Isabel and it just seemed so much clearly the Lord's leading, though I couldn't understand it all. So I rang him up and said, "Yes, I'll come." So he said, "Okay, come before the committee." So I went before this committee. Archdeacons wearing spats and collars. It was quite interesting.
Of course, yes.
In those days.
Yes. And they let you in. So you arrive at college. Now, I'm going to ask you, step back a little and think about those years at college. 3 years?
3 years.
Three years at college. What are the three things that you remember best about your time? I presume, like me, you would regard the college years as being formative. So what are the three things that you really remember best about being at the college and the impact it had on you?
Oh, well, I suppose the main thing is that I was delighted with the biblical teaching that I had and the doctrinal teaching.
Yes.
I was very keen for that, and catechists at my church reminded me that this is why you go to college, to learn from the Bible. So that was exciting. Second thing is being very much the junior member, I was really impressed by the way that people of all ages welcome me as an equal, and I worked with them, and that was encouraging. And then there were the variety of activities that the college had. I'd been taking children's missions associated with them, and I was delighted to share in college missions where we could put into practice the ministry that we're being trained for. I was really pleased with that. Then, of course, it was great to work in a parish. I went to Guildford, first of all, for 2 years. And then I was actually a catechist for the youth department.
Right, right.
Which was very unusual.
Yes, yes.
And I worked with the youth department for the year. So it was these opportunities for ministry and to correlate them to what I was being taught from the scriptures and the fellowship we shared.
So the three things that you particularly remember, let me just go back, are the teaching. The biblical theological teaching, which is obviously profoundly important, the fellowship, the way in which people looked after you and you entered into a fellowship. living here, presumably in the single quarters.
Yes, in the old wing.
And then thirdly, the opportunities that you had as you were studying for ministry. In other words, you didn't just go away somewhere and study without ministry. No, no, the college was set up in such a way as you continued your ministry. I think Dr. Knox would have been keen to have you there because you were already in ministry. This is what he taught me about people coming to college. You're looking for people who are already in ministry, not people who say, oh, I think I'd like to become a minister, but people already in ministry. And you were that already. And then what delighted you was to continue in ministry. Have I summarized it
That's
well?
That's right. Yes. I'd been leading a beach mission. I was a counselor at the Billy Graham Crusade, which was immediately before our year, which made 1960 a bumper year.
A bumper year.
That's right.
That's right. People poured in, didn't they?
Yes.
Some of whom had been converted at the crusade, but came that year.
That's right.
Yeah. Remarkable. And of the teachers, who stands out as the teachers that you really benefited from most?
Well, there's nothing like the staff you have this year. There was
were smaller in number.
Smaller in number.
Yes, yes, yes. Go on.
There was Dr. Broughton Knox.
Yes.
Who taught doctrine.
Yes.
There was Bishop Marcus Lone.
Yes.
Who came in and he taught New Testament.
Yep.
Then we had Bruce Smith and Bill Lawton, and that was the staff.
Okay.
John Reed came in to give lectures on a book. Ken Shelley taught us things like how to speak from the pulpit and speech training and all that.
Yes, I remember that.
At St. Stephen's Church.
And Donald Robinson?
And Donald Robinson taught New Testament also.
He taught New Testament. Yes. And the beginnings of the biblical theology, which has become so important.
Yes. So, yes, biblical theology wasn't a subject when I was going through.
Okay.
It was Old Testament, New Testament. I think the material was covered.
No doubt it was.
In what they did.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes. It developed in that period, which is really important. Were they teaching you to be expository preachers? In the church I grew up in, and in many, many of our churches, as you would know, the preachers would preach on a particular text. But in the 60s, they developed this expository, preaching a paragraph, chapter or something. Is that what was also going on at the time? Do you remember?
Yes, and that's the sort of thing I was looking for and expected because the catechists who came to our church taught expository sermons.
Right.
And I was drilled that this is the way you preach.
Okay, now let me explain your language for the listeners because catechists, which I understand very well, is the old word for student ministers.
Yes.
So there's your run up to college and living in. Do you think living in was important?
I think it was. It was the first time that I'd been away from home for any length of time.
Yeah.
But it was interesting just to meet with the other fellows and you'd be meeting people all the time during the day.
Yeah.
Any time of day, I could find someone I could play table tennis with.
Yes. Yes.
Which was one of the vices, of course.
Well, sport was pretty important, I thought.
Yes.
The cricket and the rugby and this sort of thing, because it brought people together. And sport does that.
Yeah.
I've got vivid memories of playing the games with the guys. Graham Cole once said to me, and I love this, you're learning at the college. I'm just seeing if you agree with it. The learning at the college is, first of all, in lectures, second of all, by personal study, but third by coffee. In other words, community chat. Mm. That'd be right. That's your experience.
And they were
too.
All important because we would get together and talk about our experiences in our parishes.
I want to move beyond that now to ask you about what's happened subsequently because here you are, you've come in at a very young age, you've had this 3 years of training, which was your tertiary education, wasn't it, at that
point?
You hadn't been to uni.
No.
In fact, most people in those days had not been to uni.
That's right.
That was unusual. So you come in and you graduate with the normal THL as we did in those days. I was 6 years after you, so I have some memory of the same sort of thing. So you did that. And with a cadre of guys that you knew, have you kept in touch?
Yes, we have. Being the youngest.
It's only 60 years.
It's only 60 years. But I've organised a reunion. Being the youngest, it sort of falls to me to draw them all together now. So we've had a 10-year anniversary of the year we started. We called our year Club 60.
Club 60.
And last meeting we had was 2020.
Yeah.
And 2010, 2000. every 10 years I've organised a reunion back here.
Wow. And that's one of the great benefits of college.
Yes.
That you create a gang of friends that you can turn to.
Yes.
At various times or yes. will support you.
Yes.
You hope and so on. So you married Isabel in what year?
1963.
63. So you left college at that stage.
I left college.
And
there were days when you had to get permission from the Archbishop to be engaged.
Yes.
And had to get permission to be married. And Archbishop Gough was a very prim and proper Englishman.
Yes.
And I couldn't find anywhere in the Bible or in my Moore College lecture notes that said you had to get permission from an Archbishop to get married.
True.
Of course, he's still the Archbishop.
Yes.
So I wrote a very carefully worded letter in the terms of those times.
Hmm.
Your Grace.
Yes.
Now, the Most Reverend Archbishop of Sydney,
yes.
Your Grace. It gives me pleasure to inform you that I intend to announce my engagement on such and such a date and trust this has your goodwill, assuring you of my prayers for your leadership. I remain your humble and obedient servant. That was the stuff we had to write then.
Lord, I'm so sorry those days have passed. Yes, go on.
Well, anyhow, I got a lovely bit of fact yes. from Archbishop Gough and I said, Dear Lord, I'm delighted to hear of your coming engagement and I give you my full permission.
Yes, of course. But it's not an untypical interaction between an Englishman and an Aussie, if I may say so.
Yes.
So there's different stages and parts to your ministry, and I'm not looking for the history of the whole thing, but rather the types of ministry you have been involved in. So as I look, would it be wrong to say that you have a keen sense of the importance of parish ministry, but also all the way through you had a keen sense of the importance of ministry among young people? Would that be fair to say?
Yeah,
you
that
may
would
want
be,
to
that
add
would,
to that.
That would be fair to say, yes.
You're a curate in one parish or two? No, one parish.
In two parishes.
Because you led into youth work. Two parishes. But then you were the rector or the chief minister of two other parishes. Which are they? Tell me where you ministered.
Okay. Well, when I finished college, I was too young to be ordained.
Yes.
But I'd been catechist at the youth department.
Right.
So they continued with me on full-time staff.
Right.
That was it. Then in 1964, Archdeacon Graham Delbridge came to me and said, Lloyd, we've found your parish, Seven Hills. And I said, great. And I rang Isabel up and said, we're going to Seven Hills. All the rigmarole of meeting with people and asking questions wasn't an issue then.
No.
If the Archdeacon said,
correct.
You went.
Yeah.
So we went and enjoyed it. So I was curate at Seven Hills with Peter Watson.
Ah, right. Okay.
Who was in charge.
Layla Park?
Seven Hills and Layla Park was the name
I
of the parish.
I remember Peter at Layla
Peter
Park.
Lived at Seven Hills. I lived at Layla Park.
Ah, right. Okay.
They had five schools in the parish.
Yeah.
And my first ministry was really youth work. I taught 20 periods of SRE, scripture a week. Monday was my day off. Tuesday to Friday, five periods up to lunchtime, three periods, morning tea, two periods, then home for lunch. It was quite a ministry amongst kids.
I would like to pause there and say to those listening, particularly in ministry, we were men in those days. We really worked hard. Well, at least Lloyd did. I can't say I did.
No, everybody did. Everybody did.
And does still, of course.
Yes.
Yes. 20 hours a week of scripture, of SRE.
20 periods a week.
20 periods a week. Yes, yes, yes. That's remarkable.
That's right.
That's wonderful. And in your course, you find out years later the impact that you've had on different people and this sort of thing.
Yes.
Didn't know at the time. Okay, so that was Layla Park.
Well, the current Bishop of North Sydney was a kid in the Sunday school.
What do you know?
And reminds me of it.
What do you know? Of course, isn't that great? That's a wonderful thing.
Yes.
So that was Layla Park. You moved on. I'm thinking about parish ministry at the moment.
Okay, I went to CMS and then I went to Bondi Beach Parish.
Oh, yes.
Now,
yes.
Archbishop Lane called me and said, look, I'd like to send you here. There's a North Bondi Parish.
Indeed, yeah.
I'd like you to build a church there, and I'll appoint you as curate under Gordon Robinson.
Oh.
And then we'll form a provisional district, and you'll be the first curate in charge. And I thought, okay, again, the bishop spoke, so I went.
Of course. So St. Andrew's, North Bondi, as it was called.
It was actually called St. Barnabas North Bondi.
Oh, was it?
But there was also a St. Barnabas Mill Hill.
Yes, there was.
Bondi Junction.
Yes.
And I thought, this is crazy. So then I renamed it St. Andrew's so it wouldn't be confused and worked there.
So you did church planting in short?
Yes, yes. They
what had we that, would call church planting today.
Hmm.
Isn't that great?
Well, they had a church there. And what it was a two-story building.
Ah.
And upstairs was the residence.
Yep.
And downstairs was the church.
Yes.
Yep. And that's what I moved into. And right. Then there was the backyard, and they needed a church.
Yes.
And parking and land at Bondi is very strict.
Indeed.
So my concept was that we have a two-story building, which is a church downstairs, and then a hall upstairs, but with the windows running through, so it just looks like a magnificent church.
Yes.
That concept was built.
Right.
Parking was a problem because council needed so many parking spaces. So I went to them, cap in hand, I said, look, we have our service at 8 o'clock in the morning, and there's thousands of parking spaces at Bondi Beach, and we'll be finished by 9. Would you accept that? And much to my surprise, they did.
Very good.
So we didn't need any parking space. And that was it. But sadly, there was an error in accounting which confused both the bank, the diocese finance department and the parish.
Mm-hmm.
And after the building was proceeding to the first progress payment, it was decided that they couldn't continue. So if I resigned, then they didn't have to pay me.
Right.
They could finish the building.
Right.
So I resigned and went and saw Archbishop Lane. And that's when he appointed me to my next parish. He said, look, I'd like to offer you rector of the parish of Mulgoa.
Oh, yes, at Mulgoa. I noticed you were out there.
With 5 churches.
Yes,
including Badgerys Creek.
Warragamba, I think.
And Warragamba Dam, yes, which is interesting because when I work with the water board, I often went to Warragamba.
Right.
So I knew the dam and the people there.
Right. And then what was the next one?
Then I went to Avalon Palm Beach Parish.
And you've never really left the Northern Beaches one way or another.
No, that's interesting.
I noticed. Now tell me, you've had a long experience of this. We haven't got to the youth work side yet, but we've had a long experience here. What have you learned about parish ministry? Say you're talking to a young man like me, for example. I'm younger than you by 3 years, but you're talking to someone about ministry these days. What have you learned about ministry and the essence of ministry in those times?
I think the most important thing is that there are the people of God in the place that you go to minister to,
mm-hmm.
and that we must consider those people in any decisions we make. And what's of concern to me is that there are so many seem to go to a new parish saying, well, here am I, God's answer to your prayers. And things weren't doing so well, but now they're going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
And fail to recognize the difficulties or even the work that the previous minister's done. And I think it's important to take the people with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever I wanted to make a decision, I would talk with church warden from parish council, with the congregations, and only move when they were comfortable and felt it was happy. And sometimes they would say no to ideas. Other times they would say, please, let's run with it.
That's very interesting.
But you must go with the people. I found that parishes are extraordinarily flexible, that no matter what ministry comes in and turns the place upside and down, they still continue along and still put their money in the plate to support the ministry of the gospel.
Right, right. Now, do you think, looking back, thank you for that insight. I'm hoping we all hear it. But do you think that the college experience prepared you? In what way did it prepare you? I mean, you're prepared by a lot of things, a lot of experiences.
Yes, yes.
But what did college contribute to that parish ministry?
College prepared me because, one, I was a trainee minister and they trained me in the areas we should be trained in, not just mm-hmm. theology, but practice.
Mm.
And that practice was not only theoretical in saying this is pastoralia, which Bishop Lone took and taught us how to take weddings and funerals and so on.
Yes, very
but
important.
How do you do it on the ground with people?
Yeah.
I gained experience in that by being a trainee minister in a parish with a rector, Wakeley Wade, who was always keen to help. So when I first arrived in the parish on Fridays, I would go to the rectory and then he would tell me what's happened during the week there and the decisions he's made and what do I think of that.
Mm-hmm.
And we would discuss it, or he would pose a situation and say, what would you do? And then I'd give him a very clear, decisive answer. And he'd say, well, have you thought of this and have you thought of that?
Yes,
and
yes.
Have you thought of something else?
You learned a great deal from him.
I did.
The preaching ministry. Did it feed into your preaching ministry satisfactorily?
When I was in my own parish,
yes.
I always chose series with the multi-church parishes, both at Warragamba. See, I used to take 5 services a Sunday
I know.
At each church.
Yeah.
And then I decided to have 1 church at Mulgoa, the historic church, in the evening, and then at Warragamba, the other side of the river, at 9:30.
Yeah.
And then the other services once a month.
Yeah.
So that meant 2 sermons a Sunday, because a lot of people, not a lot, but enough.
Oh, came twice. Indeed. Yeah, yeah.
So I do an Old Testament in the morning.
So you were relying on your college studies at that
point. Oh, indeed.
Very much. Now, you've had an extraordinary interest in children's ministry, in teenage ministry, and in schools, because you've had connections with, I know you've had connections with CMS League of Youth and all sorts of other things as well, and the scripture teaching or the SRE teaching you mentioned, but you've also been connected to 2 schools and as principal. Tell us about how that happened, and is that true to your ordination vows? Why are you working in a school? What's going on there? I think it is, but I'm just interested.
Yes. Well, I'm convinced the same way. Well, as a child, I used to read prolifically, and I loved to read the English schoolboy books.
Yes.
And that gave me a taste. And when I was converted, I thought, well, you know, I'd like to be in a school like that. Mm. So I sought opportunities and waited upon the Lord for it to see if God would confirm that call. So the opportunity came when I was at Avalon. Rod West approached me and asked me if I'd be interested in going to Trinity as chaplain.
Oh, yes.
So that was interesting. Another parish had also approached me.
Yes.
And the Archbishop said, okay, well, I'm not going to give you 2 offers. You've got to make up your mind.
Right.
Are you going to go parish or are you going to go schools?
Yes, yes.
So that I received firm offer from the headmaster of Trinity Grammar School with contract and everything else before the other. So I assumed that, well, this is the next step to take.
Yeah.
So that's when I moved into Trinity Grammar School.
Yes. But how did you get into leading schools? I mean, chaplaincy at Trinity, very important, and Rod West, one of our great servants. But what about this business of the 2 schools where I think you were the principal?
3.
3, I beg your pardon. Yes.
There's one been left out of the yearbook. First of all, at Trinity, I was able to follow up what you said in teaching, because in the final 2 years, I had enough coming to Scripture. We had 6 classes.
Yeah.
And I had Christian staff teaching. So I asked those that would like to do PTC to do it. And I introduced PTC in year 11 and year 12.
I remember.
And I had 65 students.
Wonderful.
And I taught that. And it's really exciting to see people in ministry who did that course and found it helpful
in
their ministry.
Yeah.
Who have actually adopted that now at other schools.
Right.
For example, as Tony George at King's.
Yeah, more college and so into the schools
into
as well.
Into the schools.
That's wonderful.
And I was quite prepared to stay at Trinity, who I was chaplain of school, and I could carry out my ministry there.
Mm-hmm.
It was good because they have house services galore. And so I'm meeting with people who normally wouldn't necessarily come to church, but they come under the sound of the gospel. And so I had through that and the boarding house, that ministry.
Yeah.
When I was asked if I would go to Peninsula Grammar School, or it was Peninsula Anglican Boys School, it didn't exist. But there was the Council for the Promotion of Sydney Anglican Church Schools.
Yes.
Had St. Luke's Girls School.
Yes.
They had St. Luke's Primary School and Locut Valley at Bayview, a primary school, and they wanted to have a boys' high school.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was approached actually. They told me they were going to advertise it.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple of the heads of schools approached me and said, why don't you apply for it? And I thought, well, that's very much the question. How can I maintain a biblical ministry while I'm headmaster? And the answer is easy. Just keep doing what I'm doing. Love people, love the Lord, preach the gospel and teach the Bible.
Now, okay, so you've had a lot of experience in this area, but let me ask you another question. What have you noticed has changed in Australian society, but particularly amongst young people in the course of these many years of ministry and particularly focusing on young people. We haven't even got to your chaplaincy work amongst skiers, but we may have to leave that. But I want to ask this deeper question. What changes?
Well, I think society's changed too, and that people have moved away from a Christian background. When I was a child, everybody was sent to Sunday school.
Yeah.
Parents didn't go, but they sent their kids. What's happened now is that there's not that same thing. There's been a shift in society away from the gospel, away from the centrality of Jesus to their own secular life. So our preaching now and proclaiming has got to reach people in not in a different way, but in the same way. We're still proclaiming the same Lord Jesus Christ. We're still proclaiming him as the sole Saviour, Christ alone, Bible alone. And that's a position we can't shift from. But society doesn't want it.
No.
And therefore it reflects in their kids.
Yeah, and it does, doesn't it? And breakdown of marriage and other things like this. Accessibility of drugs, technological.
Yes, yes.
So last question, is more college unnecessary? How important is the college?
Oh, it's essential. I mean, there needs to be thorough, grounded training by well-qualified people, but the qualification is those who love the Lord Jesus as their Saviour and are concerned and experienced in ministry and want to preach the gospel that they've been taught in a clear, decisive way so that there is no confusion of what the gospel is.
I couldn't put it better myself. I think that's pretty good. Lloyd, we're very, very grateful for you coming and sharing with us today. There's so much else. I know there's so much else you could tell us about, but what you've told us is really significant. And I think you've given us a sort of a beginning and an end. You've talked to us about your experience of college and coming to college and the fact that Dr. Knox saw in you the person he wanted at college, and also that remarkable story of the gentleman who set aside money for you to come and didn't tell you.
Yeah.
So we've seen that. And then you've hit the nail on the head, I think, with the remarks you've made about the necessity of the college, the ongoing necessity of college in this entirely different world we're living in. Thank you very much indeed. And may God bless you and keep you. And I know from personal friends that you have not stopped your ministry.
Oh, I served in the army for 33 years.
And I'd forgotten about the army,
and the ski ministry for 25 years now.
25 years.
Yeah.
You've got a lot more, but time does not
allow. Time doesn't allow.
But thank you very much indeed.
And thank you very much for your leadership.
God bless.
Thank you for listening to More in the Word, a podcast of More Theological College. Our vision as a college is to see God glorified by men and women living for and proclaiming Jesus Christ, growing healthy churches, and reaching the lost. This interview is just one of many from the college's 100 Ministry Stories project. For more than 160 years, More Theological College has been sending men and women into a wide range of ministries in Sydney, every state of Australia, and almost every continent in the world. 100 Ministry Stories helps us to remember and praise God for the work that he has been doing in the world in our times. Remembering what God has done in our lives helps us respond to our world in steadfast hope. It is our prayer that as you hear how the Lord is at work, you will be encouraged in your faith and built up in joyful assurance. Find out more on our website. That's more, more.edu.au/100 in numerals. If you are a graduate and keen to contribute to the 100 Ministry Stories project, we would love to hear from you. Get in contact with the communications team to express your interest or find out more. You can email us at comms@more.edu.au. That's comms@more.edu.au. You can find out more by going to the More College website, more.edu.au. If you have not already done so, we encourage you to subscribe to our podcast through your favorite podcast platform so that you'll never miss an episode. For past episodes, further resources, and to make a tax-deductible donation to support the work of the college and its mission, please visit our website at more.edu.au. www.ucl.edu.au. If you found this episode helpful, please share it with a friend and leave a review on your platform of choice. We always benefit from feedback from our listeners, so if you'd like to get in touch, you can email us at comms@more.edu.au. The More in the Word podcast was edited and produced by me, Karen Bielhartz, and the communications team at More Theological College. The music for our podcast was provided by Mark July from Pixabay. Until next time.